It's November in the year 2021 on a Sunday evening. My internet is out, but my computer is not out. And so that means I can't watch any football. I haven't been able to watch it all day, and I haven't been able to get my last webcast up today that I did earlier this morning. So I thought that I'd come in the studio and have myself a little refreshment and have a conversation with you, okay? I don't know exactly what I'm going to call this because I don't know where I'm going in my conversations. When I was a young man growing up, I had an idea of how things were supposed to be when I became a grown man. I do remember when I had to receive vaccinations. I told you about that a few months ago when COVID first jumped off. Well, it appears like COVID is ending, but if you look at the moral structure of our country and seeing the horrific, the senseless deaths, and I first want to start with the deaths of black men at the hands of a cop, senseless injustices such as driving while black and pulled over and other things. As you can tell, this thing with blackness, I have paid very close attention to it. And sometimes I think it's as the singing group, the Temptations, say. They think it's just their imagination running away with them.
Pray, dear Lord, hear my
any way you look at it, I don't think that you can ever duplicate the Temptations singing that song. And not only that the song was sung with perfection, the orchestra, right on point, the strings, everything. I wish I could have been in Berry Gordy's office when they came in from the studio break and said, "We're going to play this for him." Because from what I understand in the old Motown establishment, Berry Gordy is the one, if he said it's going to be a hit, it was a hit. And you know what? This wasn't payola, just that. I recall because I was a young man in my early 20s when this song came out. And I want to go back in my mind and I want to feel what I felt back then. It sure wasn't the things that make my blood pressure go up today. Of course, there was a war being fought. I had received my draft notice. That meant, "Dear John, you're no longer free to do whatever you want to do. You have to come down to the induction station so that we take your blood, test you, test your mind and everything, because for 2 years, your soul belongs to the United States government of America." I was drafted. I understood that whatever I was told to do, I was to do it. So unlike the millennials today, because when an officer, even on a horse, tells you in a downtown area, "Come out of the store and stop looting," you look at him like there's something wrong with him. And if you really investigate it, he was the badge of authority. He was the authority. Is it just my imagination running away with me? I had a conversation with a man in his early 50s earlier today, and I told him, "You need to chill." Simple as that. And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I don't mean shut up and like that. I mean, you need to chill." Meaning that his life in a certain area is so frozen that it's beginning to freeze other people around him. And I said, "In order for you to survive and everything that you find lovely to you, you need to learn how to chill." Is it just my imagination? He didn't know what the hell I was talking about. I had to talk another 30 minutes to convince him about the benefits of chilling. See, Pastor John retired, Professor retired, can play music from Motown because he's chilling. And when you chill, you usually do things that other people would appreciate you for. Isn't that true? You can tell I'm searching for another song. Listen to this one. I never listened to the words by Diana Ross before. But I'm going to listen to them this time because I need to, you know, they tell me that I still, even in my old age at 77, that I still do not understand women enough. I was speaking with a man today and he told me, "You don't understand women." And I told him, "No, I understand women because I'm a man. Why wouldn't I understand a woman? She's not of the same species that I am. I understand her." That's why after all the years living in this house with my now deceased wife, she was with me 35 years. For you to tell me that I didn't understand her, oh, I understood her perfectly, 100%. And guess what? She understood me. All right? So what I'm going to do, Diana is singing a song. I'm still waiting. Let's see what this is all about. Diana Ross. Diana Ross, thank you for coming to PJ's website. I was just sitting around on a Sunday evening playing some music from Motown. Some familiar, some a little unfamiliar. But it's good to listen to some of the pros do what the pros did back in the day. I was thinking, you know, COVID took a lot of people. A lot of people. too many people that I knew or knew of. And when I think about their lives being snuffed out by this virus, this terrible thing, whatever it is, and then I think about all the other lives that were lost, not because directly affected by the virus itself, but the result of people responding to the virus. Lives have been changed. And it was good being out. I went to visit a man We were watching the Chargers-Vikings game on his TV. I didn't have to, well, the internet's been down here all day. Spectrum cable got something wrong with it. So I spent my entire afternoon over there. And myself and the man of the house, we were having a conversation about what I'm having conversations about as I listen to this older music. Because the values, even though the words may mean the same thing, the values are completely different in this culture. Completely different. I was trying to explain to this man who's in his 50s that he was living his life by his parents' culture that they put on him and coupled with extreme fundamentalism, because that's what I came out of. You will follow this Bible, the Word of God. You will not do that. And the people that drill me with this stuff was the people that I call my mentors that I learned from. So I was telling this man tonight, before I got home, I said, you have to live your life, create the journey that you're going to go on. And I use this example because he knew my wife. And I said, our relationship wasn't always the happiest, but there's one thing that we never did. We never, as far as I know, we never lied to each other. There was no need to lie. I established that while I was dating her. I said, you can ask me anything, I'll tell you. And I said, now, I don't lie. And she said, what do you mean you don't lie? I said, you need a reason to lie. I don't, what is the reason that I have to lie to you about anything? She just looked at me. She never heard stuff like that. I knew that was a woman that I was going to have babies with. Now, what I try to tell young men today is find out what it is before you make babies with somebody that may be the wrong person. Especially if you're African American living under slave-dominated rules that you have never thought about because you're too busy growing up. Nah. And don't tell me that I should just believe everything I see, because I don't trust this.
Sometimes, hey, hey. said sometimes, hey, they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies. Sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I've got proof.
Undisputed truth. That's right. Motown had a way of making it real. And we brothers and sisters back in the day, that's how an idea was passed on. It was passed on through the music, just the way it is today. I was looking at the football game with a friend of mine, and a commercial came on that we both agreed with. It was sensibly done. And then another commercial came on with the woman's bosom almost busting out as she was talking about some kind of chicken strips or something. And he said, see, look at that. They didn't have to do that. And I said, yes, they did. I said, weren't we talking about audience appeal? She was appealing to some people in her audience and wanted to see a big bosom woman dressed in a red dress, a red wig, red lips. Those are sensual colors when you want to do the nasty. That's why they made the commercial like that. But the man expressed to me his displeasure. I said, everybody doesn't have to think like you. I said, maybe there is a large percentage of people out there that will see that commercial and it will toot their whistle. I mean, hold it. Because if you didn't like looking at the commercial, you could have turned it, muted it, or turned away from it. That's what I usually do when I don't want to see a commercial. But why would I think that everyone should have to view that commercial in the same light that I view it in? I was talking earlier to this man about the influence of religion on simple ideas like that. You know, I don't want to look at a woman's breast. Well, you know what? I don't know whether you've been paying attention to watching these football games and these cameramen. Because I see it all the time. And I see what emphasis they're showing. And I'm telling you, with these tight pants these boys got on that field out there, you can see everything God gave them. And so this is a very expressive generation. Football players years ago, some of them wore the tight things, but you weren't fixated on that. But we're fixated on that because that's so much a part of our culture. I counsel young men, and I tell them, yeah, I had two daughters. If my wife had let me have my way, I probably would have had two more daughters and three sons. Because after I was educated in the degree of knowing what pleasure it brought me, but you know the only thing to stop me from doing that? I knew that I had to pay for these human beings. And I was not going to ever be, no. That's why I have two girls. They play with each other. I wanted to give them a brother. Lucy said no. But today when you look out there, all you can say is heaven help. Heaven help us. So Stevie Wonder's going to carry us there. Heaven help us all, because that's what it's going to take to get us all through this. Oh, here it is. This is why I can't get anything done. It says Spectrum technicians are working to fix extensive damage to our network caused by an intense fire. Your service will be restored as soon as possible. That's why I'm doing this webcast like this, because, and they just sent that to me on my phone at 7:30. It is, ooh, so it's serious. There's a service outage, and, ooh, yeah. Well, at least I know what's going on. But that's why I can make this webcast, and so that you can know what's happening in real time. That's what elders do. Before, you know, I'd be sitting around here, what's it, Sunday, right? And it's this time, oh yeah, I'd be having a bite to eat because the guys would be getting ready to come over here by 8 or 9 o'clock to get ready to go to Glendale to go and do radio, live radio after church. Spend all day in church, just like they did. And that radio program, hey, I didn't have the money to do that. People sent money to hear me talk Christian reasoning with them over the radio. And I just did what I'm doing right now. But I did it and said, well, look at the scripture. It says this right here. Boom, boom, boom. But I never told anyone to do anything that I didn't think that God didn't say that. Let me give you a good example. I was talking with a friend of mine today, and I told him, I said, God didn't say that as if you married a woman that you're going to be with that woman the rest of your days until death comes your way. That was done by some married fellow, some customs in a culture. And I told this man this, and he said, what are you talking about? I said, that is why you're into your second marriage. And you're still having doubts. I said, get on your path, your journey, your way of living. Discover how you're going to get to the end. And I want my end to be when I'm about 102. I'm selfish. I live most of my life that I live, and I'm not regretting it. I'm saying it, but I lived it for other people. I did not live it for me. Now, is that selfish? Yes. I want to live. I want to enjoy my life. That's why God placed me in this little brown piece of body. I showered. I stepped out of the shower, and I took a look at me. I said, well, I'm losing fat, but what I need to do now is to tone up these muscles, and that's what I'm going to start doing on tomorrow. Start toning up the muscles, because if you don't tone the muscles, the older you get, you're going to become feeble. And that's why old people walk kind of slumped over and things like that. And the pains and the aches that they have pull them down in that direction. And you know what? I love to see senior citizens like myself fighting it. Because if you fight it and you don't have any disease in you, you can live to help other people. And why do I want to live? I don't want to live so I can get another brand new car. I don't need that. No. Why do I want to live? So I can continue to do what I'm doing right now. And if anyone offered me an opportunity to be doing anything other than what I'm doing at this moment in time, Dick and KMA. Just as simple as that. I had the next one lined up. Yeah. All right. Stevie Wonder is a contemporary of mine, and I like him. And Stevie not only displayed his like for the masters, from the black jazz artists and everything, and he being a blind boy, when he put Sir Duke on this album, and that's what I'm going to play. For those of you that did not hear this, you got to listen to it. Stevie comes alive in this song. He makes Duke come alive. The whole band comes alive. Ella Fitzgerald. He raises her name because this is what I believe now. Every time you mention a person's name in honor of what they've done, their spirits are elevated, and they know it because they're alive. And that's why I play a lot of Duke Ellington on my webcast now, because, man, he's the greatest of us all in that area. And, I mean, you know, African-American, come over here. You can tell by looking at him that he mixed with white folk. Duke, you know, from that elegant part of lives. Yeah, I understand. We all come from a class. We all come from a stage. And what we are now are the developments, plural, of those journeys as we come through our stage. And so if you want to really discover who and how you are, look at where you are in your stage of life. And then you can put your finger on it and you know what to do. So let's go in the head and the mind of Stevie and see what he was thinking about when he wrote this number called Sir Duke. Do that again, please. Uh-huh. All right. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Just, it's not just music. It's not just R&B. It's genius. Yo, how do you listen to music? Because it make you tap your feet? I was talking with this man while I'm watching the football game. And he has a huge screen. I don't know what kind it is, Q something. And I said, man, I just noticed something. I said, when the camera was focused on certain shots on the screen, there was something taking place. Someone was sending messages. And he says, yeah, you're just saying this? He says, John, it's all fake. I said, but I can't see it that clear on my TV. So I'm going to get a clear TV so that I can watch these fake people in this fake. And he said, you know, all of society is. I said, we've all been in that trap and we're here. But we're alive and we have to make the best of it. And he says, and you go easy with that. I said, if not, I'd be dying or dead. You learn how to live in the environment that you're in. Thank God I'm not like my brothers and sisters in Somalia or something like that, because they're going through a horrible time. There's so many things going on, you know, and I got to be careful because I don't want to sound like a snob, you know. I'm over here and it can't happen to me. Yeah, it can happen to me. What can happen to them over there can happen to us. We're just a little bit, you know. Stevie takes me to another place in this next number because it's past time. But then he added another phrase on the end of that, pastime paradise. Now think about it. The man was a brilliant musician. Was, he is. And he puts it together. It's not just a bunch of noise. Stevie, my dog cannot stand any other beast of burden coming around me. He will attack. He's trying to go through the door. He senses a man walking his dog in front of the Lucy Corbin studio, and he is literally going crazy. Well, that's why Stevie D did good. When he did Pastime Paradise. Stevie Wonder. Well, I thought I was ready to play it. I don't know what's going on here. It wasn't ready to play Pastime Paradise. There it is. That's the one. Listen to the word.
Men spending most of their lives living in a pastime paradise.
Say it again.
Men spending most of their lives living in a pastime paradise.
Uh-huh, say it.
Men wasting most of their time glorifying days long gone behind.
Right.
Their days in remembrance of ignorance, so disgrace. Tell
yeah.
me who of them will come to be? How many of them are you and me? Dissipation, gracefulation, consolation, segregation. Dispensation, isolation, exploitation, mutilation, mutation, miscreation, confirmation to the evils of the world. And spending most of their lives living in the future paradise. And spending most of their lives living in the future paradise. They've been looking in their minds for the day that sorrow's lost from time. They keep telling
consolation, consolation, integration, verification of revelation, acclamation, world salvation, vibration, stimulation, confirmation to peace of the world. We've been spending most of our lives living in the past time paradise. We've been spending most of our lives living in the past time paradise. They've been spending most of their lives.
I don't know how that happened, but let's just go with the flow. Lionel Richie.
Baby, you find there's only one love, yours and mine. I've got so much love and needing you so. My love for you, I'll never let go. I've got so much. Let me show how much I love you, baby. I don't mind and I don't mind. Girl, I love, there's no one above you. You are the sun, you are the rain. It makes my life this foolish thing. You need to know I love you so.
She is all of that to him. She has to be a lovely person to make a man say something like that. We're going to listen to next a number. What's it called? Another Lionel Richie number. It was in 1984 when this was a hit record. 1984, something like that. And, you know, it's wonderful. I'm sitting here in the Lucy Coleman studio, and there's a jet path that the jet planes, when they come in over the Pacific, they have to come in and get in the loop and to land at LAX. And from this studio window, you can see every 5 minutes a jet come through. And then if you're in about the same direction of where the jet's coming in, on the street coming down the hill off of Overhill, where I live in the Crenshaw area, you can see a stream of jets coming in from the east, landing at LAX. And it makes you think, this is a powerful city, because these jets come in all hours of the day, in the morning, and at night. And check this out. Ever since, I've been in this house because I can stand on my back porch and watch the jets in as they make their final lap to come in and land at LAX. I've watched it since 1974, and they're still coming in. And when I think about all the petrol that it took to fly those jets, all the clothes that it took to clothe the people that work for all the different airlines, all the different people that took flights that had loved ones that stopped off here in my city, Los Angeles, and went on to other places around the world that I've never met, that I've never spent time with, but I have the actual evidence that they were here, because I remember seeing those planes come in to land. And I know exactly what it's all about. And one night in 1984, he had an event here in Los Angeles at the Los Angeles Coliseum. It was the last night of the 1984 World Olympic Summer Games held here in Los Angeles. And I was a traffic officer for the city of Los Angeles. And the intersection that I was directing traffic was on. Now that intersection is Figueroa Boulevard and King. I was a traffic officer on that intersection. And I heard this song from the Coliseum floor before all the fireworks started and the entourage and the celebration of the conclusion of the 84 games. That's why I like playing this record. Lionel Richie, All Night Long. All Night Long. That's it. That's what I heard. I was on the corner, and I said, what is this? And people began to scream, because he was coming out. And everybody in the world knew this song.
Well, my friends, the time is come.
Listen.
Raise the roof and have some fun.
That's right, that's what they were doing.
Go away, the work to be done.
Yes.
Let the music play on, play on, play on.
Come on, boys, sing.
Everybody sing, everybody dance. Lose yourself in wild romance. We're going to party, caramba, fiesta, forever.
Yeah.
Fiesta,
yeah.
Forever.
Uh-huh.
Come on and sing along.
Yes, yes, yes.
Life is good, wild and sweet.
1984.
Let the music
Wow.
Feel it in your heart and feel it in your soul.
Come on, boy.
Let the music take control. We're going to party, climbing, fiesta, forever. Come on and sing my song.
Listen, people, it was in 1984, we had to empty the L.A. Memorial Coliseum. I was the traffic officer in charge of the intersection, King Boulevard and Figueroa Street. If you know anything about Los Angeles, the traffic that's coming southbound on Figueroa has to turn left and go about a half a block and get on the 110 freeway, which takes you to the other freeways. And when all the athletes and their buses, sometimes in one traffic light, it would take
you know how long it would take a traffic light.
Well, I'll tell you what, I directed some traffic there, and you would not believe it. I lost connection here, so let me get it back. There we go. All right. Yeah. I worked that event, and it was most gratifying. I really loved it, and that's why I love that record, because while I was out there working the intersection and the traffic, hundreds and thousands of people leaving the L.A. Memorial Coliseum. And me and my team of other traffic officers worked for the department. No, we were for the LAPD there. We weren't in the Department of Transportation as of yet. We were still with the LAPD, and we were civilian traffic officers. At that time, the city population was growing, and hey, man, I promoted up from warehouseman in the city of L.A. to a traffic officer. That's a great job. And it was. I loved it. I think it was one of the best jobs I've ever had. That's why I can't understand people that don't want to get up and go to work every day. Man, I'm a minute over talking about something else that is pertinent. Why in the heck that these young people don't want to work. There used to be something about pride. I have pictures of the traffic officers that I work with just in one division. We knew each other, knew some of their families. Some of us hung out on the weekends together. And we were city employees. We promoted up. They taught us to get ready for that when we were kids in high school. They would tell us. I remember when I was in the 12th grade, and my temporary American problems teacher used to tell us, when you get out there, you can get jobs in any field that you would like to work in. Some of them means you're going to have to go to school more and get more education. She says, but there's money to be made. You can buy a home, a car. That's what we were looking forward to. I had a problem. I had to get a woman that would take me because I wasn't a man that knew everything about what a man should know. I didn't. And I was having this conversation today with this man, and he was talking about mental health problems. Man, you don't let on back in the 50s and early 60s, you don't be talking about no mental problem with nobody. You get up with your bad self and make your life work. You didn't go see no psychiatric person. You don't need a psychiatrist. No. I'm sorry. I went 3 minutes over the time. Thank you so much for coming to my website. You really make me happy. I hope that I made you happy, too, as you just listen to me ramble on. Right? Right.